You are listening to the Fun Uncle Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fun Uncle Podcast. I'm your Fun Uncle Dude, joined as always by your Fun Uncle Brandon.
Wah wah.
Your Fun Uncle Cooney.
Boom, 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 boom.
And special guest this week, your Fun Uncle Mondo.
Armando Martinez.
I'm here.
We've been waiting for this since the beginning.
Stop touching your mic. Already. Like a minute and a half in.
All the time.
That's all we got.
All right, so anyway.
First, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Clickety, clickety, clow. We fresh from the casino, and it all went well. Good night at the casino, so everyone's happy, drinking bullshit. It's the best.
Brandon bought that Chivas.
Except
the
for
box.
Dude, because Dude went to the machines and... Tables.
Those tables are fucking super, like, they're intimidating, dog.
They are, yeah.
But no, because I'm not going to go up to, like, because I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
I didn't either, but I figured it out as we went along.
You didn't figure it out.
Well, I didn't, well, because I figured the game out. I just didn't figure out how to work with the dealer.
The dealers lost patience for you, right?
They did.
Several times. Yeah. And Brian's like, I'm so sorry, I'm brand new. And he's like, but you keep making the same mistake. He was so pissed. He's like, dude, we've explained this.
You lost the dealers, man.
Hey, but who's up?
Yeah.
Me.
Fucking Brian's up, so fuck those guys.
And I did tip them well for putting up
a bunch, actually. He's putting up dealer bets. He's like, this is for you, this is for you. I'm like, yeah, so just cut him a fucking break, assholes.
You did the right thing.
Did the right thing.
Yeah, I did.
Mafia shit, dog.
I heard other people around the table might not have been happy with you.
No. I mean, there's this little... Dude, Craps is such a fucking weird...
Was that? I didn't
know. Yeah, I mean that's the joy of being, you know, ignorance is bliss, dog. Like if you don't know, like you here just to say, but like when the dice are out and you have like your hand up or you're throwing cash on the table, like the guy throwing the dice will usually get pretty pissy about that because it fucks with their thing.
Yeah,
there's a whole thing that everybody gets mad about. Everyone has their own little Craps universe. And there's all these little rules because the one time they came up huge, these four things were the way they were. And then now if you fuck up those four things, everyone's like, that's why you rolled a seven. It's like, no, I rolled a seven because that's how this fucking game works. But people get super duper duper mad.
Superstitious. Yeah.
Superstitious is a good word for it.
Seven's the most probable roll, right?
Yeah, no, that's what was so funny because I mean, you see, like dealers, because they sit there all fucking day and they get a trend for how things are. So when Brian walks up and goes, "Put me $50 on a four," they're just like, "This fucking retard!" Like, do you know what I mean? But
that's the thing about gambling.
It's like, yeah, you laugh at him, but he also hit that like. A couple, because I mean, if you look at all the dice combinations, that's the thing. There, with two dice, there's a billion ways to hit a seven. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's more ways to hit a six and an eight. It's the way it's outside numbers, inside. If you look at them in a row, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, the outside numbers would be 4 and 10. There's only two ways to hit those. There's a 3 and a 1 and a fucking 2 and a 2. And a 4 and a 6 and a 5 and a 5. So it's low probability, but that's why they pay so well.
And all the fours that I hit were when you were rolling. You were on a damn roll tonight.
There was a fucking dude, the first time I ever rolled, he was like, you shoot a lot of horn things. And I was like, you're right, because, you know, you go on 6 and 8 because the probability, the math is in your favor. But I do roll a lot of outside numbers where it's like, fuck it, I'm going to put money on the 4 and 10 and I'll let the dealers. You know what's fucking weird about craps? It's one of those things where you have to kind of like, it's a really interesting social like experiment, because you got to go in there within a community of people. And if you have the basic ideals of what craps is, you know what are like silly bets or sucker bets. And so if you walk in and you go, put me 25 on the 4 and 10, and everyone's like, ugh, he doesn't know what he's doing. But it's, you have this internal ideal, like I roll 4s and 10s a lot. Which by itself sounds fucking insane, because the whole thing's supposed to be random. So to be like, I roll a lot of 4s, it's like, is that true though? And everybody
you did who's ever, tonight though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why it's hard to like argue when people like. It's weird how you have this own little internal dialogue about like, here's how I roll, here's how it goes. So this is what I'm going to bet on. But there's also like a probability that everybody's aware of, and so when you put out your bets, like it's really like. If everybody at school is wearing fucking red and that's just the hot shit to do, and you know you just look better in yellow and you just fucking wear yellow anyways. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Craps is weird, man. It's a fascinating game. It's a fascinating game. I'm actually like I'm concerned with how obsessed I am. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a little concerned.
After tonight, I'm very, very obsessed with craps now.
Well, dog, anytime you gamble something the first time and you come up a bunch, you're just kind of like, dog, I got this. I figured it out. And it's like,
But I'm never going to go alone. The only time I'm ever going to go is if it's with Mondo and Mike and Brandon, or Mondo and Mike, or Mondo and Brandon. Or
you know, oh, I get it. That's why I was joking with Mondo when we were walking out. I was like, Mondo, we should just do this like every day. Because like it went well, and then you have this little thing like, okay, let's just keep this sequence. This is how it worked. Yeah. And you wear that shirt. I wear these pants. Like, you know what? Like, that's real shit.
I was just about to ask. Do you go home and remember like what underwear you wore?
I was going
to
say, I won't change my underwear.
No, but if you did watch me tonight, I do that 4-4. Dice said, like, I put the 4s on top, you know what I mean? And, like, that's a thing. Like, again, it's all probability. Every roll is its own individual thing. Do you know what I mean? It's pretty heavy, dude.
Did you use your now world-famous strategy?
I'm not going to lie. It is world-famous now. I believe that video went viral.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Brandon was featured on some dude's YouTube channel.
Color Up. It's really? The best YouTube.
And what is it?
YouTube channel that does a couple of things. He'll explain basic craps, the game, and then he does like a dice advice series where people that watch him will give them their strategies, and then he'll roll them out live. And he doesn't re-record them. He just shows how this thing would work out. And so I hit him up with my little thing that I do at lunchtime, which was fucked up because, like, people at work were like, damn, dog, what the fuck, you go every day? Because he's like, this was presented by Brandon K. Brandon says he goes to the El Cortez every day at lunch with $200. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, I want to show people this. And my managers are going to be like, dude, every day?
Well, they're
like,
not watching it. But anyway, keep going.
No, dog. The world is small now, dog. The internet makes the world really small.
All right, but keep going.
But, yeah, no, that was featured. We actually didn't do that strategy today at all. Today was a regular day. We just rolled points. You were kind of
playing it, though, the numbers and all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, craps is fucking fun. Like,
if
it's extra money, it's the funnest game ever. And a lot of people that do casino games, if you ask them, like, what's the best one to do? Everyone's always like, craps. Because I feel like it's the participatory aspect of it. Like, you're part of it. You're part of it, you know what I mean? Yeah,
everybody's in it together, everybody's rooting.
And, you know, there's that quote that everybody says, and then there's a second thing about Meyer Lansky. He was one of the old school Jew gangsters that worked with Italian gangsters, and he set up a lot of the casinos and set up that structure in Cuba, and then he set up with his buddy Bugsy Siegel, and pretty much I want to say like Rat. Started Las Vegas, but yeah. It was just a little like GI stop point from east to west. Mm-hmm. And then once the mob and some of these guys started putting in all these luxury resorts on this little chunk of the 15, yeah. and it became Las Vegas Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Now it's Las Vegas. It's a really fascinating story. The story of Las Vegas is fucking amazing. Yeah. But the guy who initially put this together, who made his bones in New York, then he put together this empire in Cuba, and then he put together this thing that became Las Vegas. If you asked him about casino games, the only one that a regular man has a real shot of, he said, is blackjack and craps. Those are the probability-wise, yeah. when you're talking about math, those are the two that you should probably fuck with.
Well, craps, I mean, energy is real. So, like, if you have a good game going, energy can keep it going. You know what I mean? So, if you're rolling a good game of craps and the energy going, you can keep hitting.
So much of me wants to, like, shit on that. But, like, it's true, though, right?
It is.
It is, it right? Is.
I mean, it was energy. Proven tonight.
It's like when you play sports and momentum. Like,
right? That's yeah. what I'm saying. That's what I'm yeah. saying. So people are going to fucking... No one bats an eye to talk about general momentum and team sports. But if you talk about that at a table, mathematicians and people that don't gamble are like, oh, he's just full of shit. And it's like, it's not full of yeah. shit. Like,
and you can't measure momentum, but you feel it. And you see what's
happening. You definitely feel it. Oh, that's the best.
Well, I mean, we all have energy. And if there's like six people at a table with the same energy... And we're all putting off good vibes. Good, you know, good shit's gonna happen.
I really, yeah, it sounds fucking crazy, but I believe that. Like, I really do, especially in like a crap scenario. Because if you walk up to a table full of a bunch of miserable fucks, you've done it. I know you have, because oh, yeah. you've done craps a bunch where it's like, nah, you can feel a cold
crapping
table.
Out of two.
You can feel a cold table. You can yeah. walk up to a hot table and be like. Put all my money on all the numbers and then just make a bunch of money. Like, it's crazy, dude.
We fucking... had a hot table tonight.
Yeah, it was a good table. We started that table. It was us three.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the black dude came in. He had a few good... He had a bunch of good yeah. rolls, too.
Yeah.
He like, wasn't feeling us at first. Did you see that?
He wasn't, yeah.
I loved it.
That's because Brian tried to yeah. jack his money a few times.
No. The guy who initially was going to start. Oh, no. yeah, because yeah, he was yeah, there yeah, by yeah, himself, yeah, and yeah. then I was the next shooter, yeah, and then we're all going ham. Brian's making all these... fucking mistakes that's pissing off everybody. Me and Mondo were laughing.
Not everybody, just a dealer.
No, it was everybody. the dude wasn't putting money anywhere. Like, he had no faith in what we were trying to do. And I get that. Usually, I like to watch a full round and just see how people roll. Yeah. See how they feel, see how they're betting. Like, I really do feel like all that stuff makes a difference.
It's funny how last week you said, like, black folk... You know, usually roll dice the best, and he rolled them.
He had a nice run. Yeah. He had a nice run.
I think you had a little black in you tonight.
I was very, 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 very focused.
Yeah.
No, not at all. It's all random. It's all nonsense, and sometimes it goes really well, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And today it went really well. Yeah. I really did have an inclination, though, because me and Mondo were supposed to go fucking a couple of days ago. And do some yeah. work, and I had this little instinct where I was like, I feel like if me and Mono go to a table, we're going to do okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, that little feeling. Like,
and then me fucking we'll it all up, okay. made it.
Yeah, but there's something to, like, beginner's luck, man. Like,
there is. Yeah. Dude, you know when you want to put all your money on some numbers is when a super rich guy and his fucking girlfriend
or
walks up.
Or his girlfriend, or, like, this pretty, and, yeah. like, not, like, wife that has no idea what she's doing.
What do I do?
They're kill it. Yeah.
Listen, dude. If the stick guy pushes fucking dice to a chick who has no idea what's happening,
some chick
empty
on
your fucking bank account. Yeah, yeah, dude. Because she'll just roll for an hour. Is that good? What happened? Is that okay? Did we win? And you're just like, bitch, shut up. Just fucking keep rolling that shit. It's the worst. But there is something to beginner's luck. It's not a fucking phrase. See, that's what I'm saying. I think that us as, like, modern people, we throw out all these kind of, like, not ancient, but, like, just traditional idioms. Oh, well, that's beginner's luck. Well, beginner's luck's bullshit because technically math probability. No. Beginner's luck is a phrase because beginner's luck is a fucking thing. Does that make sense?
Like, there wouldn't be a phrase if it wasn't real.
Thanks, Brian. That's exactly right. Yeah, and that, so, I mean, I probably lost the most of my money when Brian, because I was like, Brian's going to throw I just started pushing chips on the table like, yo, he's going to go for an hour. You didn't do bad, dude.
I didn't.
Mondo did okay. It was a good day, dude. It was a good day.
Brandon rolled hard, though.
Yeah, Brandon rolled hard. Me and Mylon did good. And then the black dude at the table did real good, too.
Most of us made most of our money on Brandon.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Most of us.
I'll
yeah.
take it. Let's get a fucking cheers in the middle of the table.
For that one, yeah.
Boom. See, this is the guys. When I'm talking about momentum, this is what I'm talking about because I'm trying to go back tomorrow, and I want to take this cheers momentum.
Hey, we got the bills at 10 in the morning. So
we're gambling podcast now.
Dude,
talking about parlays and fucking crap.
We are. Right? I mean, we're in the fucking place, dude. Shoot,
are we turning into a bar stool?
It's Vegas.
Like, if you stand up on this table that we're sitting at, you can see Sunset Station. So, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, we're there. We're in the Mecca. At any rate, more with this, because some folks just don't give a fuck about it. What do you guys got going on?
I don't know. Brian's trying to tell me something. But
oh, no. I was just saying, hey, dude, take control, baby. Let's talk to Mondo. Let's see. Ask some questions.
The reason why we're so fucking weird about fucking Mondo is because we all grew up on Wigwam in the same kind of area, in the same neighborhood, and we watched like an empire grow. And it's a beautiful, amazing fucking thing, dude. The hard work and all the discipline and just the things that I've seen from afar, from being fucking 12 to how old are we?
Oh, me and Mondo were younger.
Younger, man.
Me and Mondo smoked our first cigarettes together. Yeah.
And y'all watched Gio break motherfuckers' arms on birthdays shit?
You were at my first grade birthday, bro. I've known Cooney since we were in kindergarten.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And yeah,
I think me and Mondo go back farther than anyone.
Out of the group.
For sure.
Out of the whole group.
David M. Cox, dog. Fucking wigwam shit.
It was like, for sure, kindergarten. It had to be David M. Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gio broke Brian Dugan's arm at my birthday party.
I remember that.
Like on purpose?
No.
They're playing like Ninja Turtle
shit. It was a Ninja Turtle party, and Gio just took that shit way too serious. Man. He did like a flying kick.
Jump kicking people?
He took it appropriately serious. And y'all motherfuckers weren't ready.
I have Brian Dugan on Facebook, and every time I see him.
Do you really? Like, his mom was like a fucking.
Yeah, he's in Reno, man. He's like a big time editor at some newspaper up there.
Julie dated Kevin Dugan, his brother, in like third grade.
Dated in third grade. How Cooney is that? We weren't dating nobody. No one wanted nothing to do with us. Fucking the Coonies are out there fucking getting ass in third grade.
But yeah, I've known Cooney the longest probably. And then Brandon and them. I don't know how or when we came across with Brandon. Casey.
Well, there's the beginning with the Wigwam Wars.
Yeah. I think it was because Brandon went to Cox with Gio, and I think
did you go to Cox, Brandon?
Yeah.
So I think it was probably around like third and fourth grade when me, you, and Gio and Brandon all met.
I didn't meet Brandon until like later, man.
So
from what I remember.
So are you from Las Vegas?
I was born in L.A.
Oh, okay,
but you know we moved here in '91. I was like 5 years old, so I'm pretty. I mean, I'm from Vegas. I just wasn't born here.
And when did you guys move here?
In 90, so I was 6 years old.
That was a pretty standard thing. I was talking to somebody. One of the girls at work said, you know, she was born here. And I was like, man, when I was a kid, at the first day of school, you do the little rounds. Everybody said their name. And the teacher would ask, has anybody been born here?
Like two people.
Nobody. Yeah, exactly. No one raised their hand. And
Jenny was born here. My wife.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like for that age.
And she's our age.
Yeah.
She's
exactly our age. No, that's bonkers.
And what year did the Kleinholz family move out here?
90-something. I don't know. When we were in third grade. Pretty young. Same time.
Yeah, so 92, 93.
Yeah, no. The obsession with, I mean, dude, see, you know, it's so weird. Once your fucking, like, memory starts getting into, like, mythology mode, and then the story and the narrative is, like, a thing versus, like, the reality of it. So I always want to, like, go over what I have in my mind versus, like, the reality, or just at least bounce it off other people's shit. When I met Mondo, like, your guys' place, you didn't have a bunch of locations, dude. It was, like, one, and it was, like, on some market
shit.
It was, like, a corner store sort of thing.
Name the locations. Well, we've named
so
them.
So, was it always La Bonita?
Yeah, so my family owns La Bonita. It was, back then, it was Carniceria La Bonita.
Nice. Right, so start from the beginning.
How you guys do have a bomb ass garden, so yeah.
Thank you.
How did you start? Who started it?
It was the cow's name.
Yeah, my mom and dad. So,
and where is it now?
My dad moved here. We moved here because my dad got offered a job at the Mirage. He worked at the Wilshire in Beverly Hills. And when the Mirage opened up, they needed, like, he was in the banquet halls and all that stuff and the parties, and they needed people. So he got offered a job. They weren't happy with LA, like, where things were at. Like, they didn't want to raise a family there. So he sold their house and they moved here.
So they came to Vegas.
Okay.
And then they made a bunch of money on their house out there. But when he got here, like, there was, like, a small, like, Mexican community. But there wasn't any carnicerias or anything. There was, like, a couple tortillerias around. So my dad, all the money they had from the house, they decided to open a carniceria. And my family's from Michoacán, Mexico. And my grandpa and my tios out there, they all had, like, small ranches, cows and pigs, and they'd slaughter them and stuff like that. So they had, like, they have, like, carnicerias, but they had kind of experience with, like, animals and stuff.
I didn't know that.
And my grandpa's first cow in Mexico, you know, when you have cows, like, especially, like, dairy cows, you name them. In the morning, you call them, and they come to you, and then you milk them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have a lot of cows, you all give them different names so they know when to be milked. So this first one was called La Bonita, and that's why my dad named the carniceria.
Oh, wow. That's
so badass. That's awesome. I'm so glad some of my mythos was true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be telling motherfuckers at work, like, it was the cow. And it's like, is he never being serious?
That. That's a great story. Yeah, I never knew that.
After his dad's dad.
All right, so.
But there was just
from
one.
From there on, now where to go?
There was just one small little meat market, like carniceria, and it just grew with the city. Like, Vegas blew up, the Mexican community, like, really blew up in Vegas, and, you know, eventually he opened up the second one. Him and my mom opened up their second, like, in North Las Vegas, and it just really just grew with the city. Like, it wasn't like it wasn't ever their plan, you know, like, to open up, like, have, like, full blown Mexican supermarkets. It just kind of happened. Vegas blew up, and they were here. They had the carniceria there. And it just grew. And, you know, like, in 91, they had that small carniceria. It's the one on Eastern and Ogden now. Vegas Boulevard, like, they opened that, like, in 97. And then in 2001, they opened up the third one. And just, like, every couple years after that.
Bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Eventually, like, they put produce and groceries and bakeries and tortillerias. And it just became, like, a full-blown supermarket.
Is it all Mexican related, or do they have, like, American type foods there as well?
Have you ever been in one?
No, I haven't.
Are you serious,
Doc? I mean, I'm sorry, son. But I'm American. Like, I really don't Mexican.
Yeah, that's
food.
Fair.
So,
no, it, like, it's definitely like it's like a Mexican supermarket. I would say it's more like a Hispanic supermarket.
Brian's like, what are Mexican paper plates like?
Well, it's different than, like, a Smith's or something, right? Like, it's very different, so. But, yeah, it's definitely, like it's a Mexican. It's, like, I think legally we're categorized as an ethnic supermarket. Okay. It's a Mexican
supermarket. Cute. I love
and
that.
How many total are there right now in Las Vegas?
There's seven now.
Seven.
Yeah, and they're big. Say, like, speaking of Smith's, I remember that being, like, a transition thing. I remember when I was a kid, you guys had, like, the one that was just kind of, like,
yeah, I remember.
A market sort of thing. And I was like, damn, that's fucking dope. They're out here getting it. And then one of the conversation, because, you know, when you're talking to your buddy, this isn't, like, something that's on the table. We're talking about, like, a pussy, you know what I mean? Like, and then all of a sudden he's talking about, oh, we're buying this, that. And I was like, dude, that was a Smith's. Do you know what I mean? Like, they took over
old Vons.
An old, like, Vons, where I was like, dude, that's not fucking corner store shit, dude. Like, that's a fucking supermarket. And he was like, yeah, fucking crazy, right? There's a
Mondo. Do you plan on expanding outside of Las Vegas at all with La Bonita?
No, there's no set plans. Like, no, there's no, like, ambition to grow outside of Las Vegas right now. It's still, like, family owned and family ran, and
which, like, is dope as fuck.
Yeah,
dope, like, as
it's
fuck.
Me and my brother works in there now, and my sister helps out. My parents still oversee it, so it's grown and it's much bigger than I think my parents ever thought that it would be. But,
like, they just wanted to live.
Yeah,
like, they just wanted to be comfortable. Yeah. Now they're like, bro,
your crazy pops put that on the dopest commercials.
Yeah. Like, how crazy is
Brian
that?
Brian thinks, like, that's your dad, by the way.
Oh, it's your uncle, huh?
No, that's not. It's not family.
He's like, that's a guy.
He's big. His name is Mr. Well.
I don't know why I thought it was your dad.
No, a lot of people assume that, though. Brian will feel bad.
Did you ever employ any of the homies?
I know what your dad looks like, too. Like,
none of the homies, that's no. Fucked up. No, not like this group. Oh, you know, my mom used to hire me and Brandon and Issa back in the day.
That's one of the funniest fucking stories of, like, when I found out, like, I was like, damn, Brandon, are you, like, a racist person? Because that was, like, on the table, right? And I remember me and my buddy Issa, who's a fucking monster, were moving stuff. We're moving, like, file cabinets or whatever the fuck, and it's heavy. And we're doing the work, and we look over, and there's a dude, like, there's a couple of dudes, like, laughing, kind of talking Spanish. And I was just like, what the fuck, bro? What the fuck are they laughing about? And Mondo, I'm not even sure if you're lying, bro. You might just be, like, a brilliant man and just new to, like, bullshit us. And I was like, what the fuck are they laughing about, dude? And I was all mad about that. And he was like, oh, they just said, you know, good thing they got a bunch of big guys in here to help us out. I was like, that's not what the fuck they were saying, bro. Like, I was convinced that wasn't the case. But, nah, man. It really is, like, on some... Like, what's the... I can't even think of the thing. The American dream. You know what I mean? Like, dude.
Yeah, it truly
you started
is like
a business. And like you said, I mean, I feel like that's a pretty modest, like, thing to say when you're kind of like, oh, it just kind of like randomly, not randomly, but it, like, it grew with the city. But there has been. If you said that and it was 2007, I'd be like, oh, so he just kind of incrementally came up with the city. Because there's a lot of real estate. We got a bunch of buddies. Mickey, like, there's a couple of guys that we know that, like, came up in a big way because of the growth of the city. But you guys also kind of got through other bigger, dare I say, bigger companies coming into town and 2008. Like, you guys have, like, withstood. Yeah. It's not like you guys got smoked when it got bad. Like, you started to do... Because that's when I came back and I was like, Bondo, what the fuck did you do for him? Like, well, I wanted to know more about, think, like, how you did that. I got a question. That.
Do you think that you starting early in, like, 2001 kind of helped you through the 2008 depression? With the business of La Bonita's?
Like, me personally?
No, the company.
Or the business?
Like, I'm straight.
No, I mean, I say it that way, like, it grew with the city because there was never, like, this strategy to have, like, these big stores or anything like that, you know? So I think my parents put that business, and they saw opportunities, and they opened more business, and they just opened as they saw the opportunities with the growth.
Mm-hmm.
But they worked their asses off, you know?
I mean, right.
Like, nonstop, I remember for years, like, there was no days off for them and stuff like that, so...
Wow.
All that, like, everything we see now, I think, is, like, a result of, like, the foundation they put into the company. Like, surviving, like, that, you know, the 2008, the Great Recession, like, some really big, like, supermarkets came from California, like, that was, so it was, like, there's, like, this Great Recession, and there's, like, this, like, crazy competition coming to town that we just couldn't compete
in 2008?
Yeah. Like, the guys from California, like, Cardenas and those guys, like, those guys showed up in 2009. Yeah. And we just couldn't compete with, like, the stuff that they were doing, like, price-wise. So, but I think, like, my parents built this brand that people really liked and they enjoyed and they trusted.
Yeah.
And, you know, we lost a lot of customers then, but they were able to, like, withstand it, too. Like, they didn't go under, you know?
So, yeah, and then, like, you know, and then after the Depression kind of died down, they went right back to who they trusted, which was La Bonita.
And sadly, like, when the recession happened, like, it was, like, those first few years that were super ugly. Like, it was very unstable. You didn't know what was going to happen. And then it bottomed out, and there was just, like, massive opportunity everywhere after that. Like all those Smiths and Vons were going out of business.
They were,
these empty boxes. There's these cheap rents everywhere. So, you know, like, surviving that initial blow, like, after that, it was, like, oh, shit, like, there's, like, so many cheap buildings out there right now. We can really open more stores.
And you know what's crazy? Like, the Smiths and stuff that you're talking about that went out of business where you took over, like, they aren't the best areas, you know, but there are a lot of minorities in those areas, which is perfect for you, for Smiths to go out of business in that area because you can capitalize on it.
When you guys are talking about taking over properties, was it just, like, a financial kind of strategy, or was there, like, an actual geographical, like, strategy? Because I feel like you guys are placed really, really fucking well. Even with the new one on Green Valley, where it's kind of like, nah, dog, that's a really good spot for them. Like, do you guys think of the geography of it versus just the finances?
Good question.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Great question.
We look like, I mean, that's great. That's like the primary, like, that's what
location,
you first
location,
look at.
Location.
Yeah, like,
that's the thing.
Not just that, like, right. The demographics of the location. Yeah. Right? So, like, is it Hispanic area? Is it not a Hispanic area? Is there enough Hispanics to, like, sustain the store? Like, so that's what the first thing, like, that's why, like, that's what we do, but that's also, like, it keeps us in a box sometimes because, like, there's only so many, like, Hispanic areas we can go after sometimes. So, but you know, like, if you look on the east side or north Las Vegas and even, like, this new store, like, we always look, like, what's the Hispanic population first because
right.
that's our customer.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
That's our base, so.
It's a key thing because, like, that's something that, like, if, like, a new Hispanic company moves into town, that's something that they're going to look for.
Yeah.
Because, like, anybody can go to Smith's, but, like, if you're accustomed to making, like, authentic Mexican food because you're fucking Mexican, like, you want, like, the ingredients that you know and trust, and
you're
going to
seek
those out.
You're not buying it at Smith's.
Yeah, you're not going to find that at Smith's. You're not going to find that at Albertsons. Like, you need to find somewhere that's going to sell the shit that you're used to.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, when people discover, like, a La Bonita.
Yeah. And I, like, those guys, like, the Smiths and the Albertsons and, like, the General Market guys, they've gotten better. Like, they see, like, the Hispanic population now, right? So
they got their little fucking ethnic
they
aisle.
They have their ethnic aisle, yeah.
Hey, Mondo, I got a question.
They've gotten better at it. But, yeah, if you grow up, like, in a Mexican household or a Hispanic household, you're probably going to, like, a Mexican supermarket, and that's what you're used to. Like, you're used to, like, the warm tortillas, like, the nice pan dulce. And that's what people want.
That's what you guys fucking murder it at, dude. Oh, you're fucking, dude. Your bread, I hate saying it all.
Pan de
dia? I was like, your sweet
everything.
Bread is so good. But like, here's how I think of it: it's the left wall and the back wall. Your left wall of fresh shit and your bread, and then the back wall of your meat, bro. I've walked into your fucking place, and this has never happened at Smith's or none of that shit. And you see the number on the wall, and you're like, cool, 46. And then you pull something from the thing, and you're like, 72? What the fuck? Like, and you see nine people just leaning on their cart, waiting for that shit. I'm like, okay. Nah, the meat, and then that side wall of all the bread, and then all the fucking, the fresh shit, the fucking, the chickens, the fucking, bro. I was like, you guys don't even need the middle. You probably be fine without the fucking middle.
Right,
you just need those two walls and you'll be fine.
One thing that I'm super appreciative of, like, because I've been out here now 3 years and I've yet to find, like, a really, like, really good Mexican food. Because it's everywhere in California. Like, let's be honest.
Restaurant
like, it's
wise?
Everywhere in California.
You mean restaurant wise?
No, just fucking just.
Okay.
Yeah. I appreciate that you guys are on fucking Uber Eats, where I can fucking order some shit to, like, my work.
I didn't know that.
From lunch. Because, awesome. Man, like, because, yeah, I will order Uber Eats, even though we live, like, 50 fucking feet away from a fucking Rivas Mexican Grill. Like, I'll gladly pay the fucking delivery fee and all that shit to get some real fucking Mexican food from La Bonita.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's funny, you know, like, the California, like, there's a lot of Mexican food in California, right? Like, obviously, but. I've always said, like, my, you know, like, originally we're from LA, Southern California, but I've always felt like the Mexican food in Vegas, if you're, like, on the east side or in North Las Vegas, it's more authentic.
Right.
And then I've gotten into
South side, there really isn't many. Is there
you
any
got, like,
La Bonitas on the south side?
You got that Green Valley one now.
And just like out of principle, like, I shouldn't have to fucking travel that far.
Yeah, so that's the only difference because it's like it's a niche here. Like it's not even a niche. Like it's like 35% of the city now. But
right.
But there are
California
many.
California is different. Like it's everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
there aren't many.
There's no Hispanic area of LA. It's just LA. You know?
Right.
there also isn't many Mexicans on the south side of Las Vegas either. So
I think it's changed.
That's bullshit.
Like we opened this Green Valley store. Because I think it's like Silverado Ranch
and it's
is
doing
very
good?
Hispanic now, man.
Really?
Yeah. No, the Green Valley.
So
it's changed.
How do you get
it's
those metrics?
Like,
so do you?
Like, real estate people have them. The city that like all those censuses and all that stuff. Like that's at the city.
Oh yeah,
you
can look that up.
Yeah, hey, Mondo, so that's
you
that's
just
public
Google
shit.
It. Yeah, you can Google.
Really?
Hey, Mondo. Before it was like the real estate people had it, but with the Google. Like with Google now, you can just look it up. It's city stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like when they do those censuses and all that.
Yeah,
so interesting.
I got a question, Mondo. Okay, so the south side, like near Coronado area, do you think that's becoming more of a Mexican population too? Like, are you planning on expanding near, like, that deep down south?
I think like Silverado Ranch is pretty Hispanic though, and there's like little metro. Like, you just park outside of Silverado High School one day, man, and just watch all the kids walk out. It's pretty Hispanic.
But the Coronado area,
even when we were there, like it was starting to change.
No, it was. You know, oh yeah, it was. In that area, we fucking used to only really see this more north, but you'll see like a fucking the corn guy.
Yeah.
And you'll see the fruit lady and shit like that's Serene. On Silverado on Ranch and Serene, Serene right now, which is fucking crazy to me, but it's like,
I love it, dude. Oh, I love the Mexican.
Yeah, it's changing. In California, like for me, like it's like, that's like the, like I felt like in California, LA, like I find like a lot of Mexican American food, like the melted cheese and all that stuff, you know, and like here, like I could still find like real good, like authentic, some old lady cooking like just home style Mexican food, you know, and I just feel like Vegas is still more first generation.
It is, and you are the first generation.
But like I'm the first generation born here, but like I mean, like no, but it's still, I mean, heavy
La Bonita's
Vegas is super generation. Immigrant still. Like this is the first stop for a lot of Mexican immigrants.
Like where dad don't speak no fucking English,
and in LA, right? That was like 100 years ago, maybe.
Right,
but now and now they're kind of migrating.
It's over changing. Here. But it's like it's slowly becoming like LA, you know.
Like and you guys really don't have like a long term nothing. You guys just fucking going for broke. That's so sexy, bro. Well, I mean, I fucking love that.
Like, my parents are just like they just wanted to do good business, you know.
Like we're fucking winning, dude. Man, we're over it.
Well, they want to have like a good product. They want to have good service. Like they have their goals, right? Like and there's like their idea for the business, but. It's not like they have. We don't have like a 15-year plan laid out, you know.
I
like,
love every Mondo, second of that.
I will guarantee you that within 20 years in Arizona, you will have 5 stores.
Arizona,
yeah, you have 5 stores.
Where are you going to next, dog? Salt Lake City.
I don't know.
St. George, Utah.
St. George.
I guarantee it.
Hey, you know what's fucking funny about that? You know how Palmdale is? We're all like the Oh, this is going to get me in a bunch of trouble. But, like, you know how, like, Palmdale and Lancaster is where, like, all the Mexicans who, like, kind of got their shit together in L.A., they were like, we're fucking out of here. And they went a little north.
Yeah.
I feel like the next group of Vegas...
Is Utah?
Yes. Yeah, yes. It's the same. It's the same escape.
It's not even them, like, the people coming up. It's a lot of, like, people are like... I don't want to fuck with Vegas anymore.
Yes.
Like, it's too much.
It's the same. It's what I just said about fucking LA, where they're like, listen, we did okay. But you know what? We can get the fuck out of here. So, we can go to Lancaster and fucking knock it out.
Utah is Las Vegas. Salt Lake
is
I would focus more on Utah than Arizona because Arizona's got.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Las Vegas.
We're over here giving a millionaire a bunch of fucking like.
Utah is Las Vegas's Texas, to California. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, everybody in California is moving to Texas.
Listen
everybody,
up, white people. We're coming for your neighborhoods.
Everybody from Vegas is moving
white people,
to Utah.
Mormon white people.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that, bro. They're a little bit more rigid.
You'd be surprised. Salt Lake's pretty Mexican, though, man.
That's what I'm saying.
St. George is pretty
Salt Lake.
But you know what's trickier is when you go there and you meet them, like, they're all converting to, like, Mormonism.
Are they really?
No way.
That's why I think the Mormon, like, the Utah states, like, they're just good with it.
Well Mexicans you know love what? Having kids. Yeah. Why not have
there's a lot of like
with more
there's a lot
than
of values
three.
That like
you know, I was gonna say, I was like, listen, dude, there the secular value
the
structure
values,
is very similar.
Like family, children.
You know?
Yeah.
Like one thing I will say, like the first time I walked into the La Bonita over here, it made me happy. Like just walking in and seeing, like, over to the left, there's, like, some pan dulce. There's piñatas, some pottery, like, the fucking, the metal, like, ollas, and, like, stuff like that. And then, like, the Mexican food, like, off to the right. I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is, like, fucking, like, walking into a Mexican store in the valley, like, in California. Like, I was like, this is fucking cool.
Oh, he wanted.
It's nice.
I
you grew up with it. Like that's it's like it becomes part of your like. I mean, it's your culture, right? Like, so it's super cool.
As soon as I saw a stack of the fucking the cookies with the fucking pink and white like marshmallow cooking, fucking cookies, I was like, fuck yeah, man.
Hey, Mondo.
They got the best cheese bread on the fucking land, too. What is that called in fucking Spanish, bro? Where it's kind of like cheesecake, but it ain't the big old thick heavy squares.
I don't know. I would just call it cheesecake.
It's in the cold area. Is there a word for that?
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Fuck, man. That is in the cold area? Yeah, because a lot of the fucking bread is like in like, it's not cold.
It's like a pantry with see-through doors.
Yeah, it's not in that area. It's on the right side where, like, the fucking...
Where the cakes and shit
are. Where the tres leches shit is. Yeah, yeah. It's, like, where it has to be refrigerated. And it's always got a tray.
Flan? Yeah. No, not flan.
No.
It's fuck. I don't know what it is. I've accidentally bought the fucking tres leches thinking it was...
We were so flan. Cheesecake. We were so fucking mad.
Hey, Mondo, I got a question. Does La Bonita's offer...
La Bonita's.
Do they offer like truck service, how do I explain?
Like delivery?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, like, okay, so like if I was to have a party, would La Bonita's
catering?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
so you can bring a truck not, full no. of meat and all well, that
not
stuff.
Like, or, we can't like set it up for you here, but
oh, but they
you
but,
can
but,
go pick it up. And we'll give you all the food.
Trays of food.
Trays of food.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
During COVID, Mondo was nice enough to send us
some shit. So 4th of July, 4th of July, I'm going to have Kevin get... Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Yeah, just you know, you can go to the website and you'll see like all the catering options.
There. Okay, all right.
Bomb!
You really need to go and just look at the fucking food like in the fucking little window. Because it's... Oh, my God.
It is the best chicken, like... It's for sure the best with preparado. How do you say it? Say it so I don't...
Dude, I am so fucking... Preparada? I am so fucking white. I think that fucking taco sauce from Vons is good.
Hold on. What is taco sauce?
Yeah.
Taco spice.
Are you talking about the fucking little packet that you put in ground beef?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we don't fuck with ground beef.
I know, but it's good.
Dude
it's
has
good.
A weird... Hold on, Brian. Dude has a weird thing about that. Not weird. I guess it makes sense. Do you have a... Like, when you see tacos made out of ground beef, are you just like, this is fucking insane?
You should, when you're done, YouTube on White People Taco Night. There's a song about
it. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
That shit's hilarious.
Oh, is it funny?
It's hilarious.
It's a white guy who sings it.
So it's a white person's thing to make ground beef. To make ground beef.
So all the Del Taco and Taco Bell we had when
it's
we were
bullshit.
Kids, bro, it's nonsense.
We don't use fucking taco shells.
But listen, I had Mondo in the group where he was like, this isn't Mexican. Like, so we kind of knew it was happening while it was
going
happening.
I'm going to force myself... To go to La Bonita's and start making authentic Mexican.
Well, you shouldn't
food.
Force yourself. You should support the homie.
First of all.
Well, yeah.
The fucking, what's the sausage your uncle's fucking style,
the chorizo,
dude?
The chorizo.
Man.
But you know, there is like a hard shell taco in Mexico that's authentic. It's a taco
is it the way of like but Roberto's?
It's not like
anything that you see.
Like, you don't pre-make like shells, though.
You like frying yourself. You fry it at the
like Roberto's, where they put the... The,
you see it,
the
yeah.
toothpicks yeah, through the yeah, top, yeah. and they drop it in. Okay,
you know,
wait, they made food in front of you in at La Bonita's.
There's a like a taqueria.
They got a whole
thing. Yeah, dude,
wow. Fire,
it's legit,
bro.
So fucking good. Like I always judge dope. Like Mexican places like off of like how good the rice is, and you guys have fucking amazing rice.
Yeah, the rice
isn't that
is
weird?
Good.
What's with you guys about that shit?
I do the beans.
Do you use white rice?
The beans are bomb too.
That is the comparison.
White or brown?
White or brown?
We do like the like that Spanish, like that Mexican rice.
Like the orange rice?
Yeah, almost.
That's so funny, Doug. You know what? It's funny because you can go to like store to store with that same comparison, but you also get, if you go to like a family thing, you'll be like, who made the rice? Oh, tia la la la. Oh, she doesn't make good rice. But you know what I mean? Like, they all get weird and shitty about it, dude. It's so fucking funny.
Your bags of fucking chips are bomb, too.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, we make those chips.
They're best.
Good. But it's like, you know, we make the tortilla and then we fry it.
That's another thing. Fresh. The tortillas are fucking fire too, man.
Question.
That's what I mean. You need that left lane
question.
And that back.
Do you have the same fryer that does the chips every day?
Because
sometimes
there's multiple locations.
We change the oil.
Well, I know, but sometimes though, there's people that make chips. That fry them and they put too many in and then they get soggy and
no, they got it down.
No.
To a science.
So you teach all your employees to put a certain amount in, and
well, I mean, okay. Like a certain amount only fit, but it's not like right. It's not like rocket science, you know.
That's so funny. Okay. Do you do that with your employees? I remember I got one of them in trouble. I was fucking like me. It was during COVID times, and there was a line. You remember when you had to be like 6 feet apart, and they only let so many people in? I was over there trying to get some shit COVID. For the day. And we looked over and fucking this lady was helping out Bobby super hardcore, and it was so cute. And I sent that picture to Mondo, and his response was, "She don't have her fucking mask on." Like that was like some manager businessman shit. I was like, "Look how cute this lady's being with Bobby. It's so sweet. Look at her being so nice." He was like, "What the fuck is her mask?" Like it was so. Managerial.
So how did you deal with that pandemic and the masks and everything? Like,
oh, that's a good question.
Were you letting people in like Albertsons, like 20 at a time, what?
Yeah. Fuck that! When the roof fell in, bro, that's when I was concerned. I was like, damn, dog.
And it was based on your square feet. So like, you had to figure out how many people were allowed in the store at a time.
Oh, okay.
They put out like these little guidelines. Okay. But they were checking, man. Like they would go out two times a day to make sure you weren't.
Well, you had security guards to check, right?
You had to because it was like that and the mask. The health department was out checking.
I used to work over here on Stephanie at Office Depot, and like we got visited by the Henderson people,
Henderson,
like 5 or 6 times, like just doing like a head count.
Yeah. They were serious. They'll swing by at any time.
And like, and I mean, it was so new. Like, but I mean, you just didn't want to test it,
right?
And like, it was at the beginning. Like, you know, you just didn't want to test it. So
yeah, you don't want to be made an example.
Yeah,
No matter how rebellious you were against it, you know what I mean.
People like, were pissed.
You had to conform to the guidelines.
Having been like in a retail space at the time. How did you deal with, like, the people that just, like, walked in without a mask and were just like, nope, not wearing one?
Great question.
We wouldn't let... I mean, there was, like, some very difficult people that we just backed off of. But for the most part, we just wouldn't let them in. And so we had security guards and stuff like that. And most people would, like, yell and scream and leave. And some people were, like, very, like, diligent and would not. So if they got aggressive, like, we were, like, just stand down and get them out. But... other than that, I think most people cooperated for the most part, but there's always the few people that were extra difficult about it, right? You were in retail?
It's one of those things where, like, I feel like people at Office Depot is more Karen-ish.
Oh,
so you would get way more trouble than the people who would frequent La Bonita. Like, I feel like those people would just be like, I'll do what you want.
One of my employees got pepper sprayed by a fucking, like, anti-mask person.
Really?
Yeah. Like, because she came in, and then, like, of course, like, I'm telling her, like, hey, you can't be in here without a mask. She's like, I can't hear, you're the mask, I can't hear you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, I'm talking louder. I'm like, you can hear me, you're just being stupid right now. I was like, get out of my store. And she was like, she was buying ink. And so she got the ink, and she was like, here, this should cover, and just threw fucking money on the counter. And I was like, lady, we're not going to help you. Leave, like, put my fucking shit down and get out of my store. So she walks out with the shit, and one of my employees was outside because he had just carried something out for a customer, and like he hears us on the walkie talkie like talking about her. He's like, oh, I'll get her license plate. And so like he fucking stands like behind her car, and she gets out and fucking pepper sprays him.
No way. That fool took a picture of her shit and got pepper sprayed.
Yep.
Oh my god. I got a story that pissed me off to the end of the world, okay? So I walked into a convenience store with no mask. I said, put on a mask. I forgot it in the car. Went and put the mask on. I went and bought a letter. Got a letter. He said, can I have your ID? I said, what the fuck? I just went and got my mask, dude. I'm just getting a goddamn letter. You don't think I'm fucking 18? Fuck you, dude. Like, man, I was so pissed, dude.
What were you buying? An ID for a lighter.
After I just went and got the mask because I forgot it in the car, and I went and got the mask.
Do you have to be 18 to buy a lighter?
I don't know. I've been 6'3 for a long time, dog. Don't ask me about none of that shit.
Do I look less than I'm 18. Like, I mean, come on now.
Kind of, dog. It's not kinda. Like, like, yeah, it's not like you're pressing.
If you had some facial hair, you probably would have got.
Bro,
you
know. Come on. I mean.
If someone said you were 24, I'd be like, maybe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But if somebody said, were you 20? You'd be like, yeah, he's 20. Like, you know what I mean?
I do.
That pissed me the fuck off. I was like, so
how
sorry,
dare
so,
you challenge my right to privilege?
Right. Sorry to derail the conversation, but
no, is that a thing? Or should what? I not even say that?
What?
I
mean, white privilege?
What?
Ooh, I don't want to start that privilege. Shit.
No, we
don't
want to start
How involved? So you said your parents are still like overseeing everything.
Yeah.
Like, are they like still like? Still super involved,
not like in the daily operations, but they still, I mean, they're still active and they still work and
making sure the kids don't fuck everything up.
Yeah, they're by no means retired.
How many stores do you run or own?
We have 7 stores. So, like, I'm the general manager for the company, right? So, I don't like run. We have managers at each store. Like, I don't run any store, but. I work a lot with the managers, and we got offices, and I bounce around from the stores and the offices. And
brag about it.
Our parents just you what?
Just brag about it. any siblings?
My little brother and my older sister.
Okay. And God forbid when parents pass away, where does the ownership go?
It stays with like us family, like the
so siblings. You would be part owner with your
with the siblings, yeah.
Okay.
What's your? I mean, I guess this is might be too much, but like, what's your? Dude, you know what's crazy? I know your brother decently. I've never even seen your fucking sister, bro. Like when you're talking about your sister, I'm like, you have a fucking sister.
Saw her when she was like,
she's the oldest, right?
She's the oldest.
Not even at the wedding.
Yeah.
I'm sure, but we were fucking being Vegas friends because fuck your fucking friends, dog.
Yeah, I saw her when she was like 8. Like.
My sister, like, she's old. I mean, she's older. She's the oldest. Yeah, I don't know. She's she does commercial real estate, so she helps out with a lot of stuff. But like, she's not like 100%.
But she helps with finding the new spaces.
But she kind of represents us out there.
Of course, and she's still gonna get GM. God forbid, after parents pass away, she's still getting GM. Responsibilities.
Yeah, the way they structured it is it kind of splits, and you know, like you have the ownership, and then you have like management, whoever's running it, and stuff like that is different.
Yeah. Okay.
Cerveza's fucking killing it. I saw them on the. They have the. There's like this Las Vegas-esque commercial that comes on Hulu, and Cerveza's part of it.
Really?
Where they're like talking about downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown. Down this. Down that. And it's
have
like,
you been,
you know.
Have you guys been yet? Have you been there yet?
Yeah, I went with Curtis, man. Dude, there's like.
Not recently.
There's a decent amount of people that I know that like are very aware.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like something where they're like, oh, what are you talking about? They're like, oh, yeah, Cerveza. I'm like, what
is it?
Fuck. It's a bar, dude.
Oh.
Yeah, my brother opened with some of his fraternity brothers. A craft beer spot downtown.
I didn't hear about this.
And it's called Cerveza. But it's all like, it's all craft beer and liquor.
What streets? Like,
it's like Maine and Colorado or something like that.
So is it near D?
No, like, you know, it's like the other way of.
Fremont. It's downtown.
It's like the beauty district, the arts and beauty district.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's a cool bar. It's it's like locally owned craft beer.
That's cool. That's dope.
It's right in that craft. It's like right in that beer
district
trail. You know what I mean? And they
Vegas locally.
Yeah, it was my brother and his two friends.
That's cool.
That's busy. They've been open for a few years.
Are they focusing on? Mainly IPAs or
it's like I'm not too good with all the craft stuff, but like it's all types of craft,
right?
It's
okay,
everything, right. And they have like craft like tequila, craft scotch, mezcal.
Oh,
you just see how that fucking works with like generational shit. It's like if your parents didn't fucking kick ass, like there's a small percentage that like that. I feel like. And I might be wrong, dude. I might be more pessimistic about it, but I don't think I am. I think this is a more optimistic, fucking, like, gleeful ideal where it's like, look, dude, like, just talking in the general realm of, like, generational wealth. where it's like, dude, your brother fucking opened up a place that's doing well. Yeah. It's like, that probably wouldn't have happened if there wasn't seven fucking La Bonitas in town. You know what I mean? Like, not taking away from any of your guys' work or your brother's work or all the efforts he put forward towards Cerveza, but it's like, look how that works. Look how it spreads out. It's just, that's what I wanted to start the whole thing with, where it's like,
that's
I
remember. That's why Mexican families are the best, because they stick together.
They're the best. Bro, don't get me started, dog. They really are, man. Don't fuck with me. Like, I'm serious. No. I was just saying, like, there's something fucking fantastic about that idea, like that, what would we say, the fucking, the American dream, where it's like, you see how it spreads out and how it kind of becomes generational and how the layers spread out thin. And if you do well, it just provides so much opportunity if you just go out there and make your mark. Like,
right.
Dude, I'm fucking, you want to hear a fucking Mondo memory that I have?
Hell yes.
Is when his parents first got that fucking house, and outside of Mondo's.
Which one? The one on.
The one that they're probably still in right now, right?
Yeah, when we moved
out. The one with Jenny?
What's funny is he went from living in Wigwam in the hood to Wigwam. Yeah. Not the hood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It went from like sketchy wigwam to like.
But neither wigwam.
To ranch style wigwam.
With a back room house. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, like, okay. That's exactly my point.
I don't know if either wigwam was ever hood, but yeah. Well, there was
I'm trying to make it sound doper, dude.
But it kind of is now. Like,
yeah, but not back then.
No.
It looks disgusting.
You lived in Green Valley Estates, right? That was always nice. Valley, he always had it nice.
We made it.
But it's falling apart.
We fucked it up. We made Wigwam look bad. It wasn't the fucking place.
It's falling apart now, dude. Like it's
probably fine.
It looks disgusting. Have you been there recently?
No, but I used to trip out on fucking on the house that they got, and then the first time I went over there. He had his room, which had his own bathroom, which to me was fucking crazy.
That is crazy.
Like, nice. He had his own 60 bathroom.
60 to 80 inch TV.
Fuck the TV.
Recliner.
Right outside. He already knows what I'm going to say. When you walk
but
out of his room.
But it's his office.
No, dude. You'd walk out of his room, and there was a fucking, like, a little six-range fucking movie chairs and a legit, like, theater screen. Bro, I'm talking about like fucking 25 years ago. Dude, like this was fucking weird. It was one of those things where I was tripping out and I was like, Mondo, you just walk outside and there's like a fucking movie theater here. And he said something that like it really resonated with me then and it really helps me out now in a very real way. Where he was very casual and said, yeah, you just kind of get used to this. Because he's from Wigwam. You know what I mean? Right. Like we're all kind of from the same space. And I knew him, you know what I mean? Like, I knew his day-to-day, so to speak. We went to high school together. I kind of knew, like, just the cycle of being. Yeah. Does that make sense? Like, right. I was in the same realm. And now, all of a sudden, their family's kicked so much ass that they're obviously not in the same realm. They had a back house that had, like, arcade games in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it got... You saw a very objective level up where I was like,
dude,
holy shit.
Sick ass.
I was tripping out where I was like, dog, this is crazy to me. And he really like brought it down. And this is, I mean, it's a testament to maybe it's not advice that I took, but something that I took really, really serious, but more it a testament of just Mondo's heart and mind, where it was like, nah, you just get used to it, and that's fine. And it wasn't like, dog, you get used to this shit, bro. I'm out here winning. It wasn't a dickhead move. It was just kind of like, nah, I don't really trip on that, because what you're around is just kind of what becomes. Does that make sense, dog? Like, it was very, like, it was a big deal to me to see that, to see the humbleness, and then that's what you take in, is like, oh, okay. Okay, and then the other half was...
Not to mention the back house, but the pool.
Oh, the whole compound was fucking gangster, dude.
Dude, me, you, and Mike, like, dude, we had the most... Like, we enjoyed a great UFC fight, and there was enough couches and fucking... Like, dude, we were all comfortable as hell, dude. Like,
bro, Mondo's graduation party had fucking goldfish in a bowl with fucking... A candle in it. Do you know what I mean? Like, every table had a big old bowl with fish in it. and then floating candles. Like, to me, do you know what I mean? Like, that was like some fucking crazy shit. I was like, dude, where the fuck are... This is Jamie's house, right? This is Jamie's house? Like, it was crazy to me. Like, but... I really like to kind of stick on that like point where it wasn't from like a really shitty place, but it was a really like humble space that really taught like, not that none of this matters, but like in a healthy way almost, like none of this matters. You just get used to it. Does that make sense? Do you even remember what I'm talking about at all? Is that like, or are you like, dude, I mean, I smoked a lot of pot back in the day. Like,
I don't know if I remember that specific conversation.
Of course. But, I'm fucking weird, but I remember all sorts of shit.
But I think our parents just raised us in a way that was... my parents come from like very humble beginnings, man. Like my dad and my mom. And my dad comes from a place in Mexico that it was probably 200, 300 people, and there was no like economy around him. There was no... electricity, like they're from like these small little ranches, you know. So
we go to fucking well water now. Yeah, we have a compound.
Yeah, so they were always very big on, you know, obviously they come from humble beginnings, and I think they're still very humble, but they were always very big with like not letting that define who we were, like not letting the business be like who we were, you know, like, as people. So I think maybe like that's what you mean, like it just overall, like they never wanted it to become like us. Like La Juanita wasn't us, like it was our business, and it gave us what to eat, and it gave us an amazing life here, and they're very proud of it, but they're like, it just can't be who you are. You know,
it's
you
have fascinating to be another that person. It trickled down like that.
Yeah.
Because for parents to have like this identity or these kind of ideals that you pray and hope that trickle down into your kids, it's like you never really know. And I've sat with your brother. Like, I don't know your sister very well, but I know you and your brother well enough where it's like, nah, dude, they're not shitty. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so for them to have that kind of like outlook and for it to successfully trickle down, like that's success, man. Like that's beautiful. That's actually amazing to me.
They would encourage us not to work in the business when we were growing up. Like, they didn't want us working in the business. Yeah.
Well, you guys didn't, though. That's another beautiful thing about your guys' story.
Yeah.
Trust me, no one wants to shit on Mondo more than me, bro. Like, no one wants to fucking hate on Mondo more than me. But, like, you guys did other shit. You guys promoted your own things. Yeah. I think your brother ran with fucking, like, Pepsi for a little bit, bro. Like, you guys went outside and then came back home and did well. The whole story is fucking sexy to me, man. It's so amazing. We never felt
obligated to work there. And it was actually encouraged, like, not, like, go explore, like,
figure it out, boys.
Like, do it the right way. Like,
so, that type of stuff. Like, how your parents kind of kept you guys level-headed, like, do you plan on using that same game plan for the girls?
I'm going to try, but, like, it's, you know, like, that first generation, the second generation, the third generation, like, if you like, I'll read a lot of books about like
there is a sequence,
Walmart's,
dog. And your kids are probably started. Fucked. Like, you know what I mean?
It's my kids' generation that usually goes to shit. Right?
It is,
but like, you know, but I think I'm gonna take the approach like to kind of have them try to do their own thing, you know, like not. And if they do, like, you know, when I started working in the stores, like obviously I was like, you know, the owner's son and all that, but. Like I you know, I had to, like, I was in the warehouse and I just had regular jobs.
You got to eventually earn it. It's not a free ride the whole time.
It's different. Like, it's not like I was a regular employee ever, but like, it wasn't like I just walked in. So, I mean, I guess if they do ever, like my kids do ever one day want to work in it, then I would try to follow the same route, but it's going to look very different, you know? And it's not like back then, like, you know, there's two or three stores that when we were kids growing up, it'll be very like, I don't know what it'll look like. I can't have like a game plan for it, but I have like an overall idea of how I would like to approach. Like, I've read books where, you know, there's like this very big company in Mexico called Grupo Bimbo.
Uh-huh.
You see their bread out here and all their pastries.
Yeah.
That's still family ran and owned. It's a massive company. And his one rule, like for him, this has worked. He's like, if any family member wants to work, like they have to have a college degree. And if they want to be managers, they have to do like 6 years in the field or something like that, you know? So that's like a policy of the company because he has a big family.
They have really good white bread.
It's an earn it situation.
And the owner like wanted to make sure like it's not just, it wasn't just him. It was like nephews and grandchildren and stuff like that, you know? So I think there's ways we could approach it and try to do something similar to what my parents did. So like,
even though you did, you know, kind of start lower rung, like in the warehouse, like you mentioned, did you ever get any shit from like just other employees.
Pretty young when you became GM, Doug. I know you got shit for that.
But I don't think you get shit. I think like when you're young like that in those positions, like I just think you don't get taken seriously very often, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So you kind of pick that up. You still fuck you.
Yeah.
Because like starting in the warehouse, like that's not like a nepotism situation.
No.
Like, you're earning.
But everyone knows who you are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, for sure.
It's almost like, I don't think like we have like a company that's like, you can accuse of nepotism at all. I think like culturally, like it's very normal for like the owner's sons like to grow up and take over. So I think it's much more easier to like be in a Mexican company and do this than like if you're to be like in like an American company, they might be like, ah, oh, that's not fair and shit like that. You know, like it's much more normal in our world.
Can I ask that's you something?
Interesting. Yeah, you're
from a brown guy to a brown guy. Top three Mexican beers.
I love Modelo, man. So
I'll
fucking hate
really?
Modelo. It tastes like piss to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I love Modelo Especial. Tecate Light. Or
Tecate's good.
Tecate. And then
I'm going to give you a high five if you say what I'm thinking.
Well, I'm trying, you know. Pacific. I like Pacifico. You like Pacifico?
I love fucking Pacifico.
Yeah, I like Pacifico. I put it up there. There's some other ones that are like regional, but like I'd put Pacifico up there.
Okay.
I love how you guys say it. I don't say
you
it
are the
like
yours
at all.
Pacifico, Dos Equis, Sol.
So I was thinking Sol, but I like
Sol's Pacifico. Actually pretty fucking good, man.
It's better than Corona.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
I can't Corona doesn't Corona. Even register with me for real.
It just gives me headaches.
I cannot stand Modelo like at all.
Really?
Yeah. I love Modelo. Like I'll have a Corona. I'll have a Corona
bomb,
over a fucking Modelo.
I can't take Corona.
Really? He shits on Modelo. That's so funny because it's so fucking popular right now. You
it
know what I mean? Like
so popular. Without like an
I need a Michi with Modelo.
But that was like the super Mexican beer like 10 years ago. Whatever. Like that was like the construction
guy. Oh, bro. It's still, dude, man. When we lived in on fucking Oxnard, dude, like the whole trash can was, the whole fucking, like one of the, you know how apartments are? There's two big old dumps next to each other. Like one of them was just Modelo fucking.
Well, and like Corona was like the American beer, right? And Modelo was like what Mexicans drink back then. And it's regional. Like if you're from northern Mexico, you're like Tecate.
Yeah,
and like southern Mexico, it's Modelo.
I fuck with the Tecate.
What's the one that Dos Equis? That's the one that the German guy came out. He was a German dude who like was like down for beer, and then he saw how Mexican people did it, and he was like, "I dig this."
Mm-hmm.
And then he started making his own thing.
Yep.
I think I just like it a lot because that story. Do you know what I mean? Like just somebody like interacting with another culture and another style, and being like, "Fuck, I'm gonna take what I." It's to me, it's a very like dare I say American. Energy where it's like, oh, I've been doing this way for so long. Look how they do it. And that's fucking fire. All right, here, how can we incorporate their wisdom? And here's what I have. And that beer is fucking bomb. It's like, that's sick to me. I love that.
You know, all those beers are Belgian, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all made out there now?
Well, they're all owned by a Belgian, I don't know how you say Belgian company. But yeah, they all got like Bud Light.
It's all the same owner now.
You have all these craft beers bubbling up.
I've always considered Dos Equis like the fucking Mexican Rolling Rock.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah,
I like Dos Equis.
I was never a big Dos Equis fan.
Embarrassing.
It's a good lager. I'll take that over like a Heineken. You know what I mean? Like not a thick beer, but like just a, kind of that middle range.
Did you have Modelo Negra? Have you ever tried?
I haven't had one yet.
You might like that one. It's just heavy as shit. It's like, I mean,
it's got that bite. I don't mind it.
Is it heavier than
it's a dark beer.
You know what's funny though is like
Italian
most people like Mexican beer because they're not heavy.
Well, Mexican lagers are light by nature. Yeah,
that's like, what makes them.
But the dark beer we're talking about,
it's because they're meant to drink a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
Like, the dark,
but the Negra is not what the Negra is like. I don't know, one of those European heavy beers.
Like a Guinness?
Yeah, Guinness.
Nah, not as gnarly as Guinness.
Maybe not as
more
like
not as heavy. What was that orange? Oh my God, I used to drink them every fucking
Blue Moon.
Shock Top?
No, my goodness, I'm talking about the brown one with the, oh my goodness, this is so embarrassing. I don't know. It's brown. It's a brown one.
No, but a brown bottle.
A light lager that's similar to like a Pilsner makes me really happy. And I think Mexican lagers are very that.
Hey, do you like light beers?
I do.
My actually. Brother's bar, Sorreso, they have their own little beer. And, right. It's called Nueva Esperanza, but it's like a Mexican lager. It's light. It's really good. That's actually what I've been drinking.
That's that dinner shit, right? You can just destroy it.
So his bar is a bar, but it's a tap room, too, so you can take to go.
Oh,
you can get your get 24 a growler. Ounce cans fill. Yeah, it's like, yeah, they do that.
Do they say growlers?
Yeah, they say growlers.
Do they really? Little
lingo.
Fucking white.
And they have like a little walk-in coolers. I mean, it's called. They have a walk-in cooler, and you can take like your little six packs home and nice. Stuff. So that's what I've been doing. Cool. And their Mexican lager is really good.
Nice. I gotta check that out.
Oh, I'm so white. I like White Claws.
That is some white boy shit right there. Right? White.
Do you Claws. Do you think like? Do you ever see like a Mexican company getting into the fucking like seltzers?
They have.
Well, Corona has
Corona
seltzers.
Does.
Yeah,
they
have. Corona.
But, I mean, they're not really fucking.
They haven't really done.
They're actually. Pushing more I think towards the white.
Seltzers are dying out already, anyways, right?
Yeah, like, they kind of are dying out. Yeah,
it was a
because they're down. Like pushing towards the white community.
It could be seasonal though too, because seltzers are kind of nice in the summer.
In the summer, right? They are. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when it's
yeah.
hot as fuck, like it's yeah. hard to yeah. knock out yeah. a bunch of beers. We're like, already, seltzers are easy.
Like we're planning to like cut them down already. Like
you already know.
Yeah, yeah. Really? We just yeah. We you could see
they're like, the they're spike not selling that well.
Yeah. No.
What? So they spiked well and then just went like down?
During COVID and all that.
Well, there's a lot of that. Yeah. Yeah.
What is like the most popular? I don't know if you can like tell us this, but like what is the most popular item in your guys' markets?
Great question.
Chicken.
I mean, if you just look like at volume and stuff, I mean, it's a lot of bread, like a lot of pan dulce. It's very so popular. Good.
So fucking
a lot of
dude like, and his bread, man.
Bro, have you been a lot, dude? Their shit is fucking,
you're fucking
fire.
Oh
bro.
My god, your bolillos is fucking bomb.
The bolillos, like that's one of the top sellers.
So
bro,
dude,
if I make chili, he will not eat any
of
it.
With the bolillos?
He has yep. to duck.
I yep. swear
like,
to God,
he'll get pissed off. Do you know what I mean? Like y'all made fucking chili, like, bro.
I swear to God, dude, you grew up in like fucking 1320, where all they did was make bread because you love bread so damn
I like
much.
Mexican bread.
That motherfucker will eat the fucking bread with a cup of fucking milk.
Milk.
Like, yeah. He's yeah. so Mexican. Yeah,
I
dog. See, it's that, crazy.
I've seen him do it. That's what he said.
If Brandon makes chili and nobody like says anything and I come home and I'm like, I could have got fucking bread from La Bolita.
In yeah. a bad mood. Do you know what I mean? Like, not like, Jenny's, oh, that's unfortunate.
Jenny's family makes a lot of chili. I'm going to try bolillos next time. I didn't put that one.
So good.
And you, legit. Dude, you definitely have, like, somebody living in you from the past that used to eat.
Look at me, bro. I love carbs.
Easy man. Day.
What's your favorite memory with the boys, like, when you guys were growing up?
My favorite memory with the boys, like with me and you and
I asked
Sean
Mondo.
And Cole, was...
Oh, he brought Sean and Cole. That was before like these boys.
I just wanted to bring it up because I wanted to remind him of it. When we would steal all the gum, like from AMPM or whatever. and then we would walk through a tunnel and we'd find a cigarette. And me and you smoked a cigarette. The only two to get caught... That's one of my favorite memories.
There's a reason they stopped hanging out with us too, Sean
yeah.
and Cole. Huh?
Yeah.
So, I don't so know what my so favorite serious memories serious. Been. But, like with these guys, like this little group.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's a lot. We spent a lot of time together. That's a tough question, man. I mean, I don't know. We did so much shit. Like
we laughed a lot.
We smoked a lot of weed. We laughed a lot.
Yeah.
Like one single memory doesn't jump out to me, man. Like there was a lot. Like I would, yeah. Like Brandon
just
said, like,
name
laughed
one,
a lot.
Just
was Mondo there for that fight?
Oh, which I one? Him in the Klondike
fight. At the Klondike, yeah, I was there.
You were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get your shit rocked?
No, nope. I don't know what I was there, but I walked out of the room and that fight was over. I was in the
yeah.
room.
Yeah, no, Mondo kind of came later.
No, I was there.
You were there.
And then when I walked out of the room, like, the fight was done.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, yeah, because there was, like, three rooms.
Yeah, remember? Yeah.
And then there was people in rooms while the fight was going on.
We had some pretty good parties, man. I think those would be one of the top memories. Like, at the Klondike, there were so many good parties. At
oh,
the
my God, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Klondike parties. Yeah, you could. We could probably mesh up like three or four of our favorite memories into one.
If we told people from like places that aren't people that aren't from Las Vegas about like the Klondike parties, they wouldn't even believe us. I'm dead serious about that. Like, we knew this one.
Klondike, $2 tables, and they didn't care about fake IDs. Go on.
Oh yeah, no. Well, here
I got banned from the Klondike later with my fake ID for gambling.
No shit.
Really? My little roulette system that me and Canadian Mike came up with. We ran the table for like 2 hours.
Oh, well, that's what they caught.
The guy
you.
Was like,
"You guys got
steak,
go.
Steak dinner's on me, but you can't gamble anymore here."
That's funny.
So glad.
No, that place, there's just like, I don't know. We ran with like a pretty, I don't even want to like say it like in a judgment station like that, but like we ran like with a really like low crowd, in my opinion, now looking back. Like, here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that.
Sort of rough group, too.
Well, yeah. No, our friends were fucking tough, dude. Like, we had like tough buddies. But when I talk about like Klondike kind of shit, I think of like, I don't even want to put her on blast, but fuck it. There was a chick back in the day who made a ton of money as Peaches 16. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And then she turned 18 because when you're 16, can't be naked.
Right.
But she had...
Oh, are you talking about Sarah?
This fucking guy doesn't give a fuck about nobody, bro.
Do you want to give her social, too?
Yeah, right? No, but yeah, no,
Sarah
he's...
Sarah Peaches, 18.
Yeah, he's not
Check
wrong.
Check her up.
So she was Peaches 16, had a huge fall... Turned 18, now and she can take things off, and it became real.
Sarah Peaches.
So she had a mom who was also, like, heavy in the stripper game. And her dad was, like, on some rock star shit. So they would let us just, like, party at their house hardcore, which was fun. Like, I'm talking about, like, I don't know, the kind of, I don't know, dude.
Her dad used to take the pictures of her and her friends before they were 16, and put them up on the website.
That's weird.
Oh, it was her stepdad, and he was like a full-blown, like, this is what I mean. Like, I hate talking like this, but, like, in my, like, now my dad grown-up opinion, like, a full-blown piece of shit, dude. It's like, damn, Doc. Because he was, like, he had, like, this garage where he would, like, have all these speakers and all this bullshit, and he'd have, like, a mic stand. And he'd put the mic stand up, like, 8 feet and have all these kind of, like beer... what do they call the fucking beer bongs?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He would like just, it would be like, he'd start pouring Lipton iced tea and then boom, 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 boom,
oh,
boom,
shit.
Jack Daniels. Yeah. And then back. Like, he was gnarly, bro. Like, yeah, and these, we're kids at this time, dog. We're not 18. We're not even close to 21. And we're getting loose.
Very predatory.
And we have a fucking, so the dad's out there orchestrating this party. Scene, this energy. And then the mom was like knee deep in the stripper game, who had all these different outfits that she would pass out to all the high school girls that we went to school with. So all the girls would come out in like these bunny or whatever kind of fucking Halloween shit that was hot that season. And so those were the house parties. That was tame. Now, they would go to fucking the Klondike, and they would get, like, 3 rooms in a row, all connected, and they would go fucking hard in the fucking paint, bro. And it was, like, it was pretty rough, dude. Like, I think of it now, like, it depends where I'm at, dude. Like, when I think of it as, like, a fucking 15, 16-year-old boy, I'm like, bro, I lived a life that none of you fucking assholes will never know
and
about.
And they were very beautiful girls, too.
Sarah, I'm talking about the finest girl, like
ass.
Okay, so here, for anybody who's not in Las Vegas who can't identify with this, like, I'm talking about grab the 13 hottest girls at your school, dress them up in fucking stripper shit, and now go to a hotel where the 2 adults who got the hotel rooms are passing out booze and stripper fucking mentality tips. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm dead fucking serious about this, dude. So, like, the Klondike was fucking gnarly, bro. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I think back of it now, and it's like, we were 15. I'm talking about 15-year-olds with other 15, 16-year-old girls who are dressed up in stripper gear. And it's not like we're, like, on the run or we're on some renegade shit, because the mom's in the corner, like, take another shot. Grab his cock. Like, just totally maestroing the whole fucking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, convincing girls to do gnarly shit, telling boys to do gnarly shit, and then the dad was there just recording stuff. Like, it was fucking gnarly, bro, and, like... I mean, Klondike was fucking cool, dude. Like, do you know what I mean?
Like, it was cool because of the $2 tables, all right?
No, I'm talking about because there was all these... Yeah, these chicks were fucking bananas. Like, it was fucking... It was crazy. And it's so funny because you can go and see, like, the fruits of the labor in the Klondike brawl where you see a bunch of me... You know what? Me and Casey, we weren't even... we're not in the footage. We came out, like Mondo said, we came out 5 minutes later, hella numb. Like, hey, what the fuck happened out here? And everyone's walking Issa back with their fucking face. Issa fucking trying to fight five people at once, dude. Like,
Dustin getting knocked out.
Like, we had fucking, we had tough buddies. But, like, the Klondike Times was just, like, on some... See, at the time, you don't know what's weird or what's not. It's just natural. Now, like, as a grown-up with, like, kids of my own, I think back at that, and it's just like, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? Like, who was orchestrating this, bro? Yeah, but we didn't...
Do you ever think, like, how can you avoid, like, that with your kids, like...
Yes, that's all ever, I think.
Or do you ever think, like, why? Like, did you,
yeah, that's why we're getting up early for church tomorrow, Mondo.
Like, how did you take that route? You ever see, like, how you ended up there, you know?
You know what? Yeah. I'm very,
lack
very...
Just no leadership in the room. We
talked about that. Like, I had, like, heavy parenting and leadership. Yeah. Yeah, like I was still in that room, you know. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if like that's like just the clean.
Well,
answer.
There's no umbrella answer. Yeah. But overall, I think like a net positive because you did. I remember there was times where like after school we'd get off the bus and we'd be smoking pot, doing our little fucking degenerate bullshit, and like Mondo would be like, he was disciplined enough to be like, I need to go. Like I need to go home. I have soccer. Like I need to do this or I will be in trouble. But there's nine other people in the room that were like, we weren't thinking this at the time, but looking back, like, the structure of our daily life, there wasn't a hierarchy of, if I don't do this, I'll be in trouble. Yeah. All of our time was our own, which isn't good for young people. So we
smoke weed all day, all the time.
So, like, as a couple whites, was Mondo's family, like, your guys' first experience into, like, Mexican family values?
No, Salma Hayek
was. Yes, 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 he was.
That got me really into it.
Mondo was my first Mexican friend. He was my first Mexican family experience. Yeah, he was.
See, but you know what? Growing up with, like, African-American cousins, like, people being a different color wasn't odd to me.
No, but I'm talking about, because, like, Mexican family values. Sorry, I've been drinking a little bit. It's different.
Like, well, when you're a kid, you don't dial into the values.
Right. But, like,
but I did notice that there was something I was like, wow, he's really like, I'm not going to hang out.
Yeah.
I have to go and do this. Like, to me, that was like, that's crazy to me.
I always noticed the difference. Like they got to do whatever the fuck they wanted to do. You know?
Yeah. I noticed that too on the other end. It was crazy.
I remember eighth grade, every time it was me, Sean, Cole, and Chris. We used to get off the bus and use that to do homework or soccer or whatever. And we used to go hang out with the girl that one chick that loved me. That, you know what I mean? Like, so and we used to play basketball all the time. But Mondo always had priorities.
Yeah,
or not always.
He had
majority of the time he had priorities. And there's probably, like, 2 days out of the week where he'd come hang out with all of us, you know?
Yeah, because there's, like, plenty of times, because, like, my friends were mostly white.
Yeah.
And there'd be, like, times where I'm just looking at everybody like, y'all motherfuckers are fucking crazy.
Like, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I saw that amongst other folks, like, just within the living room. See, I noticed it on Mondo's side from, like, just the end of it. And I take a lot of, like, notes. I'm fucking weird where I like to, like, see. Even today, if I walk through a neighborhood and your garage is open, I'm all in it, dude. I need to know, like, what... If your door is open, I need to see what your living room's like. Because I'm just, like, interested in how other people do things. And when I was younger, I noticed right away... Me and Case talked about that, too. Where I was like, dude, that dude is, like, pretty fucking... Like, I mean, I guess we're kids, so it's not like all us, but like he really had like head on his shoulders sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Where it was like, I have shit to do. We're like, have another hit at, you know, kids. Dude, we're smoking pot, bro. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And he's, I have to fucking go and do this. I have this, and I have this, and I have soccer, and I have this, and I just can't. And I was just like, damn, bro. Because it was hard for me to, like, say no to anything. If someone was like, we're going over here, I would go. Yeah. If we're doing this, I wanted to go. Like, there was no, like, well, I should probably get... There, I didn't weigh out any other scenario. Mm-hmm. It was always just what was happening, what was within the group. Yeah, I was very like prone to the group.
And which I is wanted fucking to get high, and I wanted to do whatever anybody else was doing that was getting high, and I wanted to be with them.
Yeah, and so when you're talking about like backtracking and kind of like what kind of like stop points are you going to put with your own children? In my mind, taking in all the things that I took in like as a kid and realizing who's winning and who's not sort of thing is keep your kids busy. That's what I would say. Keep them busy and like make sure that they are busy. Not just faking the fun, because that's another thing with that's kind of modern is that with Facebook and Instagram, you can kind of fake how good of a parent you are. You can fake it, even though the reality of the living room isn't as dope as your Facebook post. So I really want to stay keep the kids busy. Make sure they're doing something that they like. And I get even more, I'll take it a step back and be like, I don't give a fuck if they like it or not. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to fucking baseball. I hate fucking baseball. I don't give a fuck, dude. You're going to baseball because if you're not, you're going to be in the fucking garage smoking pot with Casey and you're going to, you know what I mean? It's just a bad fucking, it's just a bad scene. I want to keep my kids, I want their schedule full as fuck. Yeah. Whether they like it or not. Does that make sense? Like, would that resonate with any kind of the way that you felt you might have grown up with the kind of things that we're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I had to be home and I had, like, shit to do and, like, soccer and whatnot. So I get it. But, like, even with me, like, it didn't work 100%, you know? Like, I was still there getting into a bunch of trouble.
Well, Eddie Garcia popping that kid's eye out is the greatest thing that happened to any of you guys, bro. I'm dead serious about that.
In the long run, it was great. Like, in the long run, it was great.
Wait, you went to opportunity school for that, Mondo.
Mike didn't. I didn't. We weren't. Yeah,
I didn't
either. I went to that Christian school after that. Mm. And that's where I met Jenny.
Mm. What? Yeah. Wow. So, kid, if you got your eye popped out of your skull behind behind Sam's Club about 15, 20 years ago, you are a cornerstone in the legitimacy of Jamie's fucking family, bro. Like, that's fucking hilarious to me.
But I think, keeping kids busy, I think that's like...
That's number one,
right? Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea, like, let your high school kids...
Just let them be what they want to be. That's crazy talk to me.
And speaking of high school kids, I want to give a huge shout out to Tevi, which is Neely's daughter and Kevin's stepdaughter. She's a cheerleader. Her football team won state.
Your brother's family is killing you, dude. Him and Neely are winners.
So she was a cheerleader for a state championship team, football team, 2 years in a row. And she doesn't care about anything. She doesn't care about the trends. She's like the best, like most beautiful soul, like that I could picture at that age in this era. Do you know what I mean?
I love when that happens. Because I get pessimistic when there's someone's like, oh, my third grader's killing it. I'm like, give it a sec. You know what I mean? Right? Like, you haven't even ventured into puberty. You haven't even gone into, like, the social kind of aspect and the kind of pressure that comes with middle school and high school. Like, if your 24-year-old is killing it, now you can be a parent that's like, fuck, okay, I did it. But when your 12-year-old's winning, it's like, well, you know, pump the brakes, dog. There's plenty of time for this to go horribly wrong. And I'm not saying that like an asshole, but, like, that's a real thing. So when I hear, like, upper-ended high school kids that still have that sentimentality, they still have that big, giant, open heart, they still have, like, a bit of discipline, and, like, that shit makes me so happy, because when I think of where I was when I was, like, 19, 20, and before that, high school ages, it's like, Because I see people that get like real like, oh man, Daryl's fucking up, blah, 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 blah. And then like you see them stressing around the dinner table and you're like, how old's Daryl? 16. It's like, nah, there's plenty of time. You know what I mean?
And,
like,
hey, dude, and funny
he'll be okay. If you guys are this worried right now and you guys keep actively trying to adjust his reality and making his process a little bit more healthier, it's going to be so much better than you think because no one, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's some folks you just kind of float off into the ether, dog, and you're a big fucking hot mess, and it sucks. It's really, really, yeah. really sad.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Tevi, too, is she does not care about being popular. She's very beautiful, and she doesn't care about being popular or anything. Like, just her demeanor, like, she...
It's so hard to teach that to a kid, to like sit a kid down and be like, it doesn't matter if you're popular. And they're like, cool story, Dad, but I got to go to fucking school tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to get that across and be like, none of this matters.
But see, she has goals that she wants to accomplish, and she's not worried about the high school fame or anything like that. And that is the type of girl that I would want to raise. Like, that's not Tevi, that is like, she is just, and I can't express enough how much or how Tevi is just, she's incredible. Like, she has the most potential in the world. And yeah,
it's nice when it works out like that. Yeah. And I hate saying works out like that, like, it's not up to us, you know, it takes a fucking village, yep. sort of thing. And what you do in the living room and the dinner table makes a lot. So I hate to say that it's like on some random shit, but it's nice when it works out like that, man. Because who doesn't want to raise a daughter like that? But I can't say with any sort of confidence, because you see these testimonies of these parents that are like, we did this, and you were there in the same space. You were there watching them, and you're like, nah, they did their best. And that daughter is still, or the daughter, the whatever, their kid is still a fucking mess. And it's like, damn, dog, like you did. I can't imagine, like, putting in all the work that me and Liz are, like, apparently putting in and, like, trying our best to show them all the kind of, like, behaviors and habits and all the things that you want to trickle down into their personhood. And you want all these things to manifest in their lives so they're a bit better than you were. That's the goal, right? Making your kids yeah. better than you were. And then turning out that they fucking suck. It's like, damn. And that happens to people,
that's what I was
bro.
Talking about. Like, sometimes, like, you have great parents, but, like, certain kids are just inclined. They just
so you believe in, like, right. Like an objective, like, there's bad apples, dog. Like, there was nothing that was going to... Yeah. You want to... Hey, we were just talking about
I mean,
Issa,
I don't know if they're like, all the case like that, but, like, I'm sure there's kids out there like that where, like, you can't figure out, like, what happened with that kid on his path. You know?
Issa was and one of those kids, bro.
Oh, Issa was.
Yeah, kind of.
Remember his mom?
Yeah.
They were, like, the sweetest... Dude, like, the nicest fucking lady ever. His brothers were killing it in the world, and I was just like, I wonder why... You know, and it's not a value judgment on Issa. He's one of my favorite people ever. One of the most loyal, one of the most tenacious, one of the most gangster motherfuckers that have ever lived, that I've ever known. But there is just like, you saw a system, and you saw a trend, and you saw a sequence in the rest of his family that he just didn't, when they talk about the bad apple or the black sheep, like they're... Again, idioms aren't idioms for no reason. Like, he was the black sheep. Remember, his brothers were, like, uber successful, man. And his mom's, like, this little sweet fucking lady that would, like, tuck you in. Like, it was crazy. And I was like, damn. So, like, why are you so gnarly? Like, you know what I mean? Again, not being, like, shitty, because some of his personal traits, I was just kind of like, yo, man, I really like, courageous. Do you know what I mean? Like, he had attributes about him that were worth being worth admiring. But you saw him on the overall, and you're just like, how the fuck did that happen?
As an adult parent now, are there pieces that you look back on, like, seeing, like, the structure for, like, Mondo's family and try and incorporate that into your parenting?
Oh, I've fucking said this a million times. I've said it to his parents' face every time I see them. I draw so much from the Cooney. Like, everything they did is like... Because even, again, when I was younger, I saw that Mondo's family... Not even Mondo's family, but Mondo was a certain way, and that had to be because of his family, you know? And I saw a little bit more intimately the living room and the dinner table of Brian's house. And I was like, this is how it's supposed to be. Because it wasn't like mine. You know what I mean? Like, I saw how Jim was. I saw how his mom was. Like, I saw how things worked. And I was like, nah, this is better than how mine is. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I draw so many things from them. I told your parents 100 times. And even in, like, passing, just, like, on, like, because it was more peripheral. I wasn't that, like, in-depth with Mondo's, like, house. But I just saw him. And I take a lot, you know. Fucking nerd, bro. And I was just like, nah, dude.
That, you were inside, that's a certain way. You were inside Mondo's house to see how it went.
I didn't have the details, but I understood that what they're doing is a way to be. For sure. Yeah. For sure. I do that all the time, dude. Of course. And off of my... You play your cards off of your own beats. You know what I mean? And it was like, nah, dude. I saw how my mom and dad were about this. And I saw how me and Lindsay were. And It, in my opinion, it's a lot more healthier and even more like, I think the effect of drawing from your own family makes the most sense because the DNA actually lines up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can take all the cues I can from Cooney and Martinez, but my kids are Brandon and Liz. So what I really want to do is dial in on Martinez, Topete on your guys' end. And see what went right, what went wrong, because my kids are half of that. And so I take from Eddie and Janie's miscues and the mistakes that they made that they're very actually humble about, and they'll say, yeah, dude, we were pretty bad at this. Really, really sorry about that. You know what I mean? Like, they're actually pretty cool about it. And taking from that. And then, you know, I believe, I'm a Bible guy, and when you read about Abraham making a mistake, and then you... go forward four chapters and Isaac does the exact same thing. Like that's the thing that you draw from scripture is like, oh, so if your dad fucks up that way, like if you're not aware, you'll fuck up that same way. Do you know what I mean? So I take a lot of cues from the things that I think that we did wrong in our own house. The things that I take notes on that I think went right and wrong in your guys' home, you know, Liz and Jovi and dudes.
There's a lot.
But you know, I got a lot of notes. But growing up, like, it's funny that these two are sitting here right now, but these two were, like, the two big ones. Which is weird because, like I said, I wasn't very, like, intimate with, like, Mondo's household, but I just saw how kind of himself.
Me and you chilled a lot. Especially after my truck. Remember, we used to chill in my truck and just
a lot smoke of music, and dude. Music and a lot talk. Of music, yeah. And that's my favorite thing.
The music down in different ways. Yeah, Brandon's always been very smart, right? So, but he would definitely break the music down very differently than what I would listen. Like, I would hear certain like something, and Brandon would be like, "This is what he's talking about." I'd be like, "Oh,
shit.
He'd break it down a whole nother route." So. Yeah, we chilled a lot in the truck. We smoked and listened to a lot of music in that truck.
Yeah, but it wasn't like kid shit drawing it up. Like, it was a little bit after kid stuff.
Yeah, well, no, it was junior year, senior year. Like,
Mondo had to take me home a lot because we lived next to each other. He had to get stuck with me a lot. I didn't have a car or nothing like that. So it was like Mondo was leaving. I was like, fuck, he lives right up the street from me. So I'm going to have to tag in on this.
I mean, yeah, you became pretty, now you're pretty like you said, like a Bible person, right? Like you're very, I think like faith and religion is like a big part of you now, right? Sometimes I think like if I would go back right now and someone would tell me Brandon's going to be like the religious one, right? Like when we grow older, like the one like, really draws on his faith and scripture. Sometimes I'm like, that makes total sense. And then there's other times I'm like, oh, well, I never guessed that.
Dude, I'm on the same exact page as you.
But that's sometimes like, when we talk about, like, we would break down music and songs, I'm like, no, I see it. Like, I can see the way he breaks the Bible down. It's like the way he would break those, like, atmosphere and, like, Aesop rock songs down and shit, you know? Like,
that's funny. Did you grow up Catholic?
Yeah, I'm like confirmed and baptized.
Me and
Mondo. I mean, he's Mexican, right? Hey,
Mondo. Oh, fuck, I'm not.
Mondo,
were you baptized?
Were you guys Catholic? Mondo.
Catholic, yes, but like, I got kicked out of catechism for asking questions.
Hey, Mono, we both went to the same church, St. Thomas More.
St. Thomas More. Yeah.
So,
right up the street on fucking Wigwam and Pecos.
Yeah.
So before we get out of here, I don't obviously don't know you as well as these guys, but like just like hearing like the stories and like just hearing you talk and like how you came up, like it's awesome hearing about like a Mexican family winning.
Oh my God!
Because there's not a lot of that. I mean, there's. I mean, yes, there are some, but there's not a lot, especially like
it's
from
rarity.
like a ground roots kind of success story.
It's American dream shit, dude.
Yeah, right, it totally man. Is. It's beautiful. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
And we commend you for that.
Thank you.
We commend you. Yes.
So definitely check out La Bonita.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Fuck Vallarta. It doesn't compare. Like all of you listeners in California that know Vallarta, just know that Vallarta isn't shit.
Yo, shit.
Hey, we,
compared
hey,
to La Bonita.
How about a La Bonita sponsor?
This flow, right? Send us a pound.
One thing I do want to ask, favorite Liga team?
Favorite Liga Mexicana team?
Uh-huh.
Thank you for those words, man. It was very nice of you. I appreciate it. And you won't believe me, but Cholos.
Really?
You know, my dad, when they left Michoacán, they went to Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
And they lived in Tijuana for a few years before he came to the U.S. And so my dad's always said, like, his formidable years were in TJ. And so I grew up going to TJ, and I still go to TJ a lot. So
fucking
I
would say Cholos. Right.
I would say Cholos. And they suck. So it's not like I like it because they're good.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, my dad was...
Yankees!
Hey, Mondo. Sort of like the Raiders.
I pick bad teams.
My dad was a total fucking mark for fucking Guadalajara.
Chivas?
Yeah. So, you know, just to be a dick, like, I'd fucking root for Atlas or something. You know, or fucking Cruz Azul or whoever the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Mondo, for you. Coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, my goodness.
Hey, very enjoyable.
Oh, thank you guys for having me out.
Like, Mondo's low key, dog. It's hard to get him on this.
Anytime you want to fucking come on the pod, like, for sure.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we don't have to talk business. We can talk bullshit. We can do politics, anything you want.
We like
politics. How do you feel about Trump? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
That's for the next time.
We will.
Thank you, man.
Catch you guys next time. Peace.
Boom, 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 boom.